What was observed in terms of side effects and toxicity?
Well, it was very similar to the extant data with azacitidine, so that, you know, we know that it's mildly emetogenic, which is easily prophylaxed. We know that there are injection site toxicities when given subcutaneously. There is a small incidence of liver function abnormalities. There's a certain incidence of asthenia, and this is all well described.
And I'm just kind of curious, I know you're part of the NCCN Guidelines Committee for MDS. Uh-huh. Did this data set affect in any way the algorithm for the NCCN guidelines?
Yeah, it has. We'd already suggested aza or deoxyazacitidine for high-risk patients, and I think it just increases our level of evidence for azacitidine.
What about that choice in clinical practice?
Well, you know, it's a good question. I do a lot of research on these compounds, and it's my personal belief that biologically they're quite similar, and that if they were given in, oh, let's say, equitoxic or equi-effective dosing schedules, they would probably be quite similar. That said, they have been developed clinically in highly different schedules. The FDA-approved schedule of decitabine, deoxyazacitidine, which is a three-day intravenous inpatient schedule given every 6 weeks, I believe is probably a more toxic regimen in terms of hematologic toxicity. And there are now two survival trials which used that regimen. One was published by Kantarjian and colleagues in the journal Cancer a couple of years ago, which showed no survival benefit compared to observation, although there was a trend. And I think the reason that it showed no survival benefit was because the median number of cycles that could be administered or were administered was only 2 to 3. We know that for both of these agents, in order to see hematologic benefit, you need to give at least 4 to 6 cycles. And all of the azacitidine trials have, for the most part, enabled patients, at least who didn't achieve complete remission, to have ongoing therapy, whereas all of the decitabine trials have never given more than 8 cycles of therapy. So duration of response always appears greater in the azacitidine trials, which I think suggests that maintenance therapy is probably important. So nonetheless, in that survival trial, which is published, decitabine compared to observation did not improve survival. Now, the EORTC has run a trial, a similar trial, against supportive care in high-risk MDS using, again, the FDA-approved regimen of decitabine. And although it's only been released as a press release, the primary endpoint of survival was also not significantly, they didn't meet their target endpoint. That is to say, decitabine did not, given that schedule, did not improve survival. So when I look at those data, I say, well, you've got somebody with high-risk MDS. You've got two drugs which, granted, biologically are quite similar, but we've got different dose schedules. And one doubles survival at 2 years and one doesn't. To me, it's incumbent upon the physician to prescribe azacitidine. Now, there are alternative dose schedules of decitabine which are better tolerated, particularly those developed at the MD Anderson. But those haven't been studied except in phase 2 studies, and they haven't been studied for impact on survival. So again, I think that if you're interested in improving patient survival, the data suggests outside of a clinical trial using azacitidine at the designated dose schedule that's FDA approved.